together.
今天我们有一些兄弟姐妹在别的其他的地方去参加其他的聚会，但是我们今天仍然有很多人来到我们这个会堂来跟我们一起庆祝主日。
So we are all staying home here, but I think we can have a good time together this morning. Won't you agree?
所以我希望我相信
So
我们今天
I'd like you to work with me. This morning, okay? I'm just preaching to you. I want to share things together with you this morning.
我希望大家今天和我们一起学习，然后今天我也希望把我的所想分享给大家。
Now we are going to do a lot of Bible reading today.
我们今天会有很多的经文来读。
Because I believe the Bible explains itself very clearly in a lot of messages. We don't have to elaborate, say a lot about it. Some are very simple, straightforward story.
因为我们有很多的经文是不识字名的，通过阅读就能大家就能很容易理解其中的意思。
So part of the time, I'm going to be just reading the Bible with you.
所以有很长的一段时间，我们会一起来阅读这个经文。
Now, I just want to refresh your memory. A few weeks ago, I shared with you as to how important for Christians to read the Bible all the time.
我们现在想回顾一下，几周前我跟大家一起分享的内容，就是作为一个基督徒来阅读经文有多么重要。
Because the Bible is very unique book.
因为我们的圣经是一本非常特别的书。
It's full of instruction, full of story, very interesting thing that was recorded there.
我们的经文当中有很多的指导，有很多的故事，是一本非常奇妙的书。
But the important thing is a lot of those information relate to our daily life.
但是更重要的是，它们里面有很多的内容和信息都是跟我们的日常生活息息相关的。
And we can learn from it, and we can also find out from it how to apply it to our life.
我们不仅能读经文中的内容，更能找出这些经文当中的信息和道理在我们日常生活当中的应用。
But in order to understand the Bible clearly, we have to understand the structure of the Bible.
为了更清楚地理解经文，我们需要理解这个我们圣经经文的构架。
Because the Bible is written in different genre or different style.
那么因为我们的圣经的行文呢，有很多种不同的题材。
But in order to understand what it means, we have to approach it in the right kind of genre or style, so we understand what the meaning of that passage is for us.
我们要根据不同的题材呢，来采取不同的学习方法。
And also, we need to look at the whole Bible as a whole too, not just small passages, because they are all related.
那么，圣经当中各个部分呢，也是相互联系的，我不能孤立的拿出一个部分来学习。
Now, why is it so important to read the Bible that way? Now, when you go to school, especially start going to college, you read a lot of books, study a lot of books. You will find out that the best thing to do is just not pick up the book and then read from the first few words all the way down to the end of the book.
那么我们在大学或者是其他学校学习的时候呢，我们在读书的时候不能说从第一行一直读到最后一行，一线读下来就会学会其中的内容。
Because that is not the best way to learn.
因为这不是最好的学习方法。
You should look at the book first and look at the summary of the book from the beginning.
那么通常情况下，我们拿到这本书呢，是因为应该去先看这本书的简要和概要的内容。
Because most of the book will have 9 chapter, 1 to 10, 1 to 15, depending on how long the book is.
那么整本书的内容呢，也会被分成各个章节。
So for you students, when you want to study a book, of course, you look through the front page of the front part of the book, see how many chapters and what are the content of each chapter. Then you already have some idea what the book is going to tell you about, right?
当一个学生去学这本书的时候，他看这本书的第一页的目录的内容，就能知道这本书里面大致的框架和纲要。这样的话，就知道这本书所叙述的内容
So,
是什么。
I was taught that's the best way to study a course, study a book. That's the best way to study a book.
这才是学习一本书的最好的方法。
And the same thing, when you read the Bible, just let's start it in the beginning, and then you talk to the Revelation, read it all the way through. Because if you don't know the structure and the content, how they are structured, then you lose a lot of meaning just reading through the Bible.
那么学习圣经也是一样的，如果我们从头开始，一直一线读到最后呢，那么也有些里面有些内容我们也不是能完全透彻的理解。
So I hope many of you are devotional, you keep this in mind.
说如果是大家想把圣经学习到最好，那么希望把这个这个学习的方法记到脑子里。
So this is such a little review I shared with you last time. This is a little review of what I shared with you last time.
来重新温习一下我们上一次学的内容。
So briefly, I'll mention what the Bible styles structures are. You can just briefly, go through that, so you can learn more later. Remember last time I talked to you how important it is in terms of poetry. Remember?
那么这里面写的就是说我们圣经里面行文的题材那我们上一次讲的是关于诗歌的题材。
Last time I talked to you is the poetry is in terms of expressing your emotion in a very, very exaggerated way.
那么上一次讲的诗歌的题材呢，就是通过渲染的方法不断的抒发自己的情感。
But then you can understand from that person when they express it in poetry, you really understand how that person feel about you or concern about you.
那我们在阅读诗歌题材的经文的时候，那么就能感觉到作者的这种情感上的强烈的对神的爱和就是想抒发自己的情感的愿望。
You remember if you were there last time, the talk about Shakespeare, talking about in the winter, right? How it related to human relationship.
上一次我们的诗歌里面有一个内容谈到关于冬天和与人的关系。
I talk about flowers, how beautiful they are, but in a few days they may be gone.
那么也谈到我们经诗歌的经文当中也讲到花朵那么它们有多么多么美，但是几天之后就会凋谢。
So as to how they related to the brevity of human life.
说拿这种花儿来比喻我们人的生命。
I want to give dimensions. I didn't elaborate. I'll mention again because I think it's important in my life.When I start talking or having correspondent, knowing my wife, Jane, who's sitting all the way in the back, I try to express to her my feeling, so I wrote a poem in Chinese.
所以这种诗歌题材对我也很有启发，在我生命当中遇到各种事情的时候，比如说想向我的太太简去发来表达我的情感的时候，我就给她写一首诗。
And she wrote another poem back to me in Chinese.
那么她也会用中文来回应我。
If you not want to know how what it says, you have to come to my house and read it.
如果你想知道我写了什么，可以来我家来看。
So going back here, we talk about.The Bible consists of history, consider law and instruction for holy living. We talk about life story, which we will spend a lot of time on today. And then talk about parables. That is also the main topic of our sharing this morning. Then we talk about wisdom literature, like the Proverbs, and then poetry. I mentioned already, we talk about epistles. Epistles are letters to the churches or the individual at that time to try to...correct problem or share with them the wisdom of Christian life and then prophecy, of course, the last portion of the chapter of the Bible.
那么这上面写的八种题材，那么分别是史书就是记述历史故事的，另外还有律法，那么第三个呢是传记，就是说个人的就是说生命当中发生的事情的真实记载。那么第四个呢就是我们今天的主题是比喻。第五个呢是我们之中的有一些智慧的小故事或者是寓言故事，那么第六个呢就是我刚才提到的这个诗歌，第七个呢是我们的这个信函或者说书简信函那么最后一个呢就是寓言。
Now since we are talking today mainly about parable, but I want also to share between the difference between life story or the word English word is narrative.Life story or parable. There are some differences, significant differences between the two style of writing.
那么今天呢，我想拿其中的两种，就是说第三个我们的 这个人物的传记和生命当中的纪实，和第四个就是我们这个比喻把这两种题材拿出来比较。
I told you I will be reading a lot of Bible today because I want to share with you, first of all, the difference between life story and parable. Between life story and parable.
那我们现在就把这两种题材拿出来这个人物的传记和比喻，看其中有什么不同。
Now the parable we will start in Daniel, you are familiar with later, and we share it.But there are much more meaning than just the superficial knowledge of the story.
那么这个比喻呢，在我们后面的经文当中会被提到。那么现在我就就这个比喻来跟大家分享一下。
And actually, parable. Jesus used a lot of parable during his lifetime to teach people to express what he tried to share with them, as you know.
那主耶稣教导我们的时候呢，经常使用这个比喻的手法。
But interestingly, in the Old Testament, the writer also used story and parable. Not so much parable, a lot of story in the history, but they use parable too.
那在旧约圣经当中呢，有很多故事是用比喻的手法写出来的。
So, now I'm going to switch off this side about parable, the New Testament a little bit. I want to read with you two chapters in the Old Testament.And I'll let you decide for yourself what the life story is and what the parable is, why they are different and why they are so important in the Bible recording to help us understand life.
那么在进入到今天的经文之前呢，我想跟大家一起去读一下我们旧约当中的一段经文。那么从中呢会一起学习比喻和传记当中有什么区别，为什么这两种题材都很重要。
Now, I'm not going to elaborate a lot about the reading we are doing now, but try to read it carefully and see what the story tells, okay? And then try to read again about the parable, why the parable is so important related to that life story.
那么在大家跟我们一起诵读的时候请用心体会，首先是当中故事的情节，那么之后呢请大家注意这当中所运用的比喻。
I'll give you so much introduction for the topic on the week.
好，那么在我们开始读之前呢，我想跟大家先简单介绍一下。
The first story we're going to hear is in Samuel chapter 2, verse 11 to 7, chapter 11, verse 1 through 17, okay? And this is about the life of King David.
那么我们就分享的经文呢是《撒母耳记下》第十一章第一节到第十七节。
King David was at the height of his rule. He is considered one of the most powerful kings during his time.
那么是讲我们这个大卫王那么大卫呢在当时是一个已经是权力至高无上的一个王。
But at the height of his power and his achievement, he did some very stupid things.
因为他有这样的权势呢，那么他做了一些非常愚蠢的事情。
So we're going to read it out.
那么我们来读这段经文。
Then we go into parable in the next chapter. Parable.
那么在下一章里面我们会读到这个比喻。
Yeah, Samuel chapter 2, okay? And how God used a prophet to send a message to King David.
那么在这章之后的一章第十二章里面呢，我们会读到一个先知去运用比喻的手法来斥责大卫王。
So I want to let you read for yourself, first in English, then in Chinese. You go through it quickly, try to get the story and the parable in the meantime. Okay? So we read in English first.
那么首先用英语。
So we read all together.In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got out.From his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a what? A woman bathing. The woman was wearing uniform. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, as I said, David go up there on the roof in the evening, nothing to do, he didn't want to go to war, he was relaxing himself at the time. And then his human sinful nature started to work out. Okay? Then David sent the messenger to get her. She came to him, and he kept and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her unclean uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman was conceived and sent word to the David saying, I am pregnant. The Bible is very detailed. She just had her menstrual period. And this happened at the time is ovulation time. What I mean? Just one egg, one time she became pregnant. Because it happened to be the right time when she is ovulating. And his sperm, okay. Just the right time. She got pregnant. So David sent his word to Joab. Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. So he was looking around. Didn't touch the main topic. Okay? Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace and a gift from the king was sent to him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. So David said, go home, wash your feet. And then Uriah said, oh, wash your feet, go to bed. So, try to make things work out so he won't be guilty. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead. You are not in war now. Go spend time with your wife tonight. But Uriah was very faithful. He said, how can my colleague go into war? I can go and have a good time with my wife. So she said, outside. Okay? David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the ark and the Israel Judah were staying in the tent, and my commander Joab and my lord men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? Surely, as you live, I will not do such thing. Then David said to him, Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I'll send you back to the battle. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. Why did David make him drunk? So he can go home, right? But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is the fiercest, and then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah in a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. And when the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Now, you get the whole story, right? David is trying to cover up one day after the other. It didn't work. He wanted to get rid of them. So, from what? Adultery to murder. And he tried to cover up. It didn't work, but this is a very, very honored man who wanted to fight for the country instead of having a home life.
简单介绍一下这段经文呢，就是大卫王，在一个很偶然的机会呢，看到了波士巴就是在屋顶上沐浴，那么他呢就被这个女子的美貌所吸引，那么他就想方设法得到这个波士巴，那么这个波士巴呢，他是以莲的女儿，是赫人玛乌利亚的这个妻子，那么。大卫王呢就把乌利亚召回到他的宫里面，然后跟他说你回家休息吧。但是乌利亚拒绝回家休息，因为其他的将士正在外面打仗。那么之后呢，过了2天之后呢，大卫王把乌利亚送回到这个战场上，那么同时呢也捎了信给这个战场上的将军说，让乌利亚呢在战斗最激烈的地方去战斗，那么这样呢，他就会战死。那么，这个战场的将军接到大卫的命令之后呢，也照做了。之后呢，这个乌利亚呢就在战场上战死。那么这个经文的大概的内容是这样。
Now, if you understand the story, this is a failure of King David in his life. Now, this is very human. It happened to a lot of politicians nowadays. Remember? If you read the news, it happened to a lot of well-known politicians, including one presidential candidate a few years ago who did something like that and tried to hide it. And then later he withdrew from the candidacy because he knew.
好，那么大卫的这个故事呢，跟我和他的这个错误呢，跟我们今天在我们今天有很多同样的故事发生。那么前些年呢，有一个总统候选人，因为同样的错误，他不得不撤出他的竞选。
Just to let you know, this is life, real life story, and it happens all every day in life.
所以这个故事每天都在我们的生活当中重演。
But David was God chosen king.
那么即使大卫王他是神所拣选的这个王。
God cannot let things go like that without saying something, without teaching David.
那么神呢，看到这种事情发生呢，不会置之不管。
Now what you're going to read next is the parable.
好，那我们接着呢会读到一个
parable is a hypothetical story, it's not real life story, but can be real life story.
好，那么比喻呢就是一个假设的故事。
A parable very powerful. Instead of confronting a person directly, you tell a story to that person express what you're trying to tell that person.
那么比喻的这个力量在于呢，它不直接的针对听话的人，那么
It's a very powerful way of teaching.
那作为在教育的这个意义上来说呢，这个比喻是非常有力的。
So God sent a prophet from David. He said, David, you are the best thing of the king. He didn't say that. He said, David, I'm going to tell you a story, a parable.
那么，那么神呢就拣选了先知拿单去见大卫王那么拿单呢没有直接针对大卫王的错误而是给大卫王讲了一个故事，用比喻的方法来教育大卫王。
So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "I'm going to tell this story, David. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other very poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except a little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children in the same house." Share his food, drank his cup, and even slept in his arms.
十二章的经文呢，是这样，就是上帝差先知拿单去见大卫。那么拿单呢，没有直接针对大卫的错误，而是给大卫讲了一个故事。那么说，一个城镇里面有一个富人和穷人，富人非常富，牛羊成群。那么穷人呢，只有一个非常，就一只非常非常弱小的一只母羊羔。那么当这个富人接待客人的时候呢，没有从自己的羊里面拿出这只羊，而是让拿了穷人唯一的羊羔来款待这个客人。那么大卫呢？不知道，因为他自己犯了很深的罪，自己完全没有意识到这个比喻呢是在说他自己，反而非常生气地说：“我对永生上主发誓，做这事的人该死。他做出这样残忍的事，必须偿还他所夺去的四倍。”那么当这个大卫王呢非常发怒地说这个人所做的行为是犯罪的时候呢，那么拿单指出来，指出大卫说：“你就是这个人。” 那么你所做的事情呢，就是上主给你这么多的恩赐，你自己不舍得拿出来，却去拿别人的东西，通过这样的方法教育大卫。
The reason I share this with you is I want to understand between story and parable. So when you read the Bible, you understand why God uses this different method of teaching us. Now I'm going to go to my main topic.
<laughs> 今天呢，我们就来讲我们今天新约路加福音十五章的内容。那么这个十五章的内容呢是分成两个部分。我今天来讲前一个部分。这当中呢，我想强调一下这个比喻的重要性。那么比喻呢，有它的，是一个假设假想的故事。那么这个故事的背后呢，有当时的背景。那么我们如果想理解到比喻的这个当时的这个里面真正的含义的信息是什么，了解背景也是很重要。
Now, just some characteristics trying to understand the parable. And if you know this, you'll be more wise in understanding the parable in the Bible. Number one, they are not isolated stories. There are no one just telling them for the sake of telling them. There is a purpose of telling them for the parable. And the circumstances, the background leading to the telling the parable are much more connected to. The second thing is that it should be related to the background. If you read the information before and after about the whole setting, you know, why the parable becomes an important part of that teaching. So try to relate it to the adjacent messages and the situation that lead to that parable. And then number three is that I think a lot of time, even now, maybe more than teachers in high school, we let them talk about parable and maybe it's interpreted because they don't usually use modern culture to explain it. But that is not the way you should use it. Explain it in terms of the culture of the first century. Why? Because people live that way. If you know how they live, you understand why the parable is important to them. And then from there, you try to translate the principle of the parable, the message the person wants to tell you, translate it into modern living, modern language, modern situation. That is how we become, you know, instructed by God.
在这里呢，我简单的总结了一下啊，在阅读我们这一段新约圣经时候需要注意的事情啊，也是要读圣经当中比喻故事当中所注意的几个重点。那么当中的第一点就是我们圣经当中所有的故事都不是孤立的，都是有相互联系的，其中有相互的关联性而且呢，这些比喻呢是用来描述一个信息或者一个论点那么第二点呢，就是在阅读这个比喻的故事当中呢，我们要了解这个背后这个故事的情境那么在第三点呢，在这个情境当中呢，我们要理解当时呢在公元一世纪巴勒斯坦地区的这个生活的状况，那么我们就能理解这么这个故事背后情境的真实的情况。那么呢，最后呢，我们在了解这个真实的情况之后呢，我们就可以把故事当中所蕴含的信息呢，带到我们今天的生活当中来，能够在当中有所学。
Okay, now we go to Luke chapter 15. We're going to study this main first portion. And there are three parables. Three parables. They all related to three parables in the first 24 verses. The first parable is verse 1 and 2. Then the second, why Jesus tell that parable? What sense did Jesus tell that parable? Remember, I said that it's a sense, a reason. Number 2, verse 3 to 7. We talk about a parable of the lost sheep. Okay, it's one separate parable. Okay, and then the second one is the second parable leading to the final parable, which is from verse 8 to 10, and it is the parable about the lost coin. Okay, and then the last one now we go to the main target parable, which is about the topic of study. Both of you already know, but we try to get some meaning, more meaning out of today, so you might not be sorry about it.
这一段的路加福音第十五章当中呢，大概分成四个部分。那么第一个部分呢，就是我们这个比喻是如何引出的，是第一节、第二节。那么之后呢，连续有三个不同的比喻的故事。那么第一个故事呢是迷途羔羊的比喻，第二个故事呢是丢失银币的比喻，第三个故事呢是浪子回头的这个比喻的故事。
Now, since you already read in English and Chinese, you already know the content. I know you're already smart. You already remember what it says, right? For the Luke 15. So keep the information in mind. I'm going to use just the English portion to illustrate some main point to help you so that what I receive from reading this also be helpful to you.
Because we've already read the Bible once, so I'm going to just read some parts to help you simply explain.
Now,The first two verses, I said, is the setting. The first two verses are the setting leading to the parable.
那么前两节的内容呢，就是这个对于这个比喻故事开始的一个引导。
It's about tax collector, about sinners, okay? And then you also talk about Pharisee.And he talked about what Jesus was doing with them. That's the setting.
那么这个故事的开始呢，就是耶稣在和这个收税的税官和一些犯罪的人在一起吃饭。那么当中呢，也有法利赛人。
In those days, tax collector considered a real sinner. You remember, the little guy.Who went up the tree of your story? What's his name? Well, you know you the story, your children, you listen to the story, the tax collector. What is his name? He went up the tree. Jesus, are you? You know, Jesus, you know, tried to see Jesus. Jesus said, I'll come to your house for tea. Remember? Who is that? You don't remember the name?What do you say? The name of the tax collector? You don't remember?
Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little guy.
那么在当时的环境之下呢，税官和犯罪的人呢，都是同属同一类人，都是罪孽深重的。
But you know, the Pharisees are supposed to be high up in law. They know all the Jewish law, how to behave, dress up, you know.
，那么当时的法利赛人呢，在犹太人的以色列人的生活当中呢，是处于非常高的，在社会当中是有非常高的地位的。那么在当时的犹太的这个文化当中呢，和有罪的人一起共进晚餐或者吃饭呢，是一个非常不光彩的事情。那么当法利赛人看到耶稣和税官和这个有罪的人在一起吃饭的时候呢， 他们就非常不高兴，去指责，甚至是去斥责主耶稣。
So, you know, Jesus hated Pharisees, you can say. He told them really severely in some of the other portions of the chapter. But this time, he's very kind. He tactfully addressed the problem by telling a parable.
在经文其他的章节当中，我们经常可以见到主耶稣呢，当面直接斥责法利赛人。那么在这一段里呢，主耶稣并没有直接针对法利赛人的言行呢予以斥责。 那么主耶稣呢，用了三个比喻的故事，前两个比喻的故事是关于罪人，最后一个是关于法利赛人。那么我们现在进入到第一个比喻的故事当中。
In the past, I have sometimes understanding, but after more thinking over the year, I learned more. If you have 100 sheep, you lost one.
What a deal, right? 在我们今天的生活当中呢，我们看到第一个故事说，如果有一只羊，但是其中有一只羊迷失了，那么很多人都会疑惑，那么我们既然有剩下的99只羊，那么丢掉一只羊又能怎样？
But in those days, the sheep and shepherd had very close relationship. They are not just human animals. They are very close
ties。那么我们需要理解的是，在当时的情境当中呢，那牧羊人和羊之间的关系并不是人与动物之间的关系，那么是一个是有非常紧密的感情和感情的联系和这个相互的这个情感的连接的。
That's why the Bible uses a lot of relationships between us and sheep, right? The shepherd, because they are concerned so hard and so much. The sheep are very vulnerable. Wolf and somebody can kill them. So the shepherd is protecting the sheep.
那么在经文当中有很多比喻，比喻神和我们之间的关系，就好像牧羊人和羊羔之间的关系。那么
But Peter said, they said, you are all sheep. Those who belong to me, I know my sheep, I know them. Every sheep by name. You remember that word?
主耶稣也曾经说过，我是牧羊人，你们就是羊羔，我们 我知道你们当中每一只羊羔的名字。
This is how important Islam is to the shepherd. This is the same way the sheep, every individual in the flock, they have the same mind of interpretation. You have 99 that say, you still have one that's not safe. That one is important.
那么当100只羊当中，即使有一只羊丢失了呢？那么这个对于牧羊人来说，也是一个非常非常悲伤的事情，或者是非常让他焦急的事情。
So, if you can find that lost sheep, find it. You can find that sheep.
那么所以说牧羊人需要把这只羊迷途的羔羊找回来，那么就找回来的时候就会非常高兴，那么也会庆祝。那么第二个故事呢是银币的故事。那如果你有十个银币呢，丢失一个银币，那么在我们今天的生活当中，想十个银币丢了一个，其实也没什么大不了。为什么需要
每天？
当我们想到其他的东西的时候，会有其他的这个想法，比如说首饰。那么两只耳环如果丢掉一只的话呢，那一定会想尽办法去找。当时呢，在正常的这个巴基斯坦地区的家里面呢，如果是一只银币掉到了地板里面，那么这个因为地板呢并没有像今天这样的平整，所以要找到银币呢也是要花一番功夫。大家谁知道犹大出卖主耶稣的这个价钱是多少只银币？那么是答案是30只银币。那么30只银币呢，在当时是
30块银币。They said the silver quite very expensive in those days. If you have 30 pieces of silver, you possibly might be able to buy a little farm.
那么当时呢，社会当中如果有三十枚银币呢，那么可以买下一个农场，或者说一片田地。今天的生活当中呢，我们对于每个人有价值的东西都是不一样。对于有些人呢是自己的宠物，那么对于其他人呢则是自己收藏的工艺品。那么每一个人呢有价值的东西呢是不一样的。那么当我们丢失这些自己认为有价值的东西呢，就会费力去找。 那么他和他的太太在在芝加哥逛街的时候呢，那么就丢失了这个订婚的戒指啊。当时据说好像是丢在那个洗手间里面，但是丢在洗手间里面有可能掉到水池里面，当时也没办法去找水管工啊，把这个水池挖出来，然后在里面找到这枚戒指，所以就是当时很无助啊，就没有办法，没有任何地方去找。 那么，在这个故事当中呢，我想每个人都有自己切身的认为感觉自己有价值的东西。当这个东西丢失的时候，那种心情。
On the further information later, I'm sure he did all kinds of wild things. In Chinese, it was called Help. And if you're so hungry, you want to eat what the pigs eat. Would you like to eat what the pigs eat?
当他非常饥饿的时候呢，甚至是去想吃猪的这个猪食。
The impression is that master saw him trying to steal something from the pig. Said, "Don't do that. This is for pigs, not for you."
当主人看到他试图这样做的时候呢，我们也可以想象到会对他说：“这是给猪吃的，不是给你吃的。”
But the pigs are only more valuable than him, right? It's your pig.
因为这个喂猪的话，会对主人有更大的价值。
So his senses came back. He said, "Oh, I'm so stupid. My father has ever wealth and all that. I know. I've seen it in heaven. I've seen it in you, my father. In other words, you represent the sin of looking at things. God, Holy Spirit, is how people are you sin from heaven. You sin." special revelation about God that there is a Father who is in it. It's for the spirit of God. So I look at it and he realized that, okay, and later, I see the heavens, I see the Father.
那么有一天呢，他就忽然醒悟啊，看到说我父亲呢居然这么有钱，那么我为什么会沦落到今天这个地步？那么他醒悟到说我是啊、对神犯了罪，我也对我的父亲犯了罪。那么这里面呢，指的犯了罪呢，对神和父亲犯了罪，同时也只是对啊、这个自然的天道，那么就是说自然的这个啊、天理对这个啊、犯了罪。
So he came back and said, that, Father, I sinned against you, I sinned ever against you. Just treat me like a servant, I will serve you in the oil, whatever job you have for me, I'll serve in the house. At least I'll be able to eat, something to eat. And also, I know I'm sinful, but I don't deserve you, you know, to be part of the house now. I will come back as a servant. So basically, it is a repentance on his part and lowering himself to the point that.
那么他回到他的父亲身边说啊，父亲，我对天啊对神犯了罪，对你犯了罪，那么我愿意作为你一个仆人，我不再配做你的儿子，那么我愿意回到这里面作为一个仆人来帮工。但是让这位儿子大出意料是，当父亲看到他的时候呢，是非常的欢喜，大老远的就朝他跑过去，啊，抱紧他。这位父
亲。
那么这位父亲啊，给儿子什么呢？
That you have conflict.
这位父亲给了儿子什么呢？他给了儿子这个袍子，给儿子穿上，那么象征着重新给儿子尊重。那么他又把一个戒指戴在儿子手上，象征了给儿子的这个作为儿子的地位和产权的继承权。那么同时呢，他又给儿子这个鞋穿上，希望他能够就是回到重新感觉到这个舒适。那么最后呢，还把牛犊宰掉牛犊来去庆祝。那么就说明这个父亲呢是非常高兴，非常欢喜的去爱这个儿子。那么神呢，在他的天国当中呢，对我们也好像迷途的羔羊一样。如果一个有罪的人能够真心认罪悔改的话，那神就会像比喻当中这个父亲一样，把他最好的东西再重新给我们。
I apologize for going over time a little bit today, and I hope you get the message. This is the first time first message for the prodigal son related to God. I'm seeing that is the message of our Christian faith. I hope that those of you are Christian will be encouraged, and those who are only seeking and not committing themselves to Christ will think about it. And next time I'm talking to you about the concept of forgiveness, even consider some of the other ways you are relating how they treat situations.
好，那么这一节呢讲的是关于救赎的内容。下一次呢，我们会讲关于救恩的这个概念，是我们作为基督教里面跟其他宗教的这个区别。
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Prayer.
Closing prayer. 请大家起立。